Hello and welcome to India Career Center, the one-stop podcast for students, professionals, parents, and guardians. In every episode, we will try to deal with a current topic that needs expert advice related to career, career guidance, and career mentoring. Please welcome your host, Dr. S.B. Mishra, to the show. And happy listening.
Hello and welcome to episode number 35 of India Career Center podcast. Let me give a context to our episode today. Climate change, triggered by rapid industrialization along with global population growth, is one of the biggest problems we are facing as a community of the world. To address the challenge of climate change, countries across the globe have got together and created a platform called COP, or the Conference of Parties, and trying to collectively agree on steps to reduce carbon emission pollution to achieve stable Earth temperature, if not controlled, will be unlivable for most of the species across the globe, including human beings. In other words, there is a conscious effort to make the Earth a sustainable place for the future. To speak about this topic, we have a very young and talented guest speaker, Surya Tomar, who is joining us today from National University of Singapore. Surya is currently pursuing his master's in sustainable and green finance from NUS Business School, Singapore. Prior to this, he has worked with the renowned MNCs like EY and London Stock Exchange in the sustainable space. During this conversation, we'll try to learn from Surya about his personal journey, understand about the concept of sustainable and green finance, about NUS, the course as well as the institution, and what aspiring young students and professionals can plan to do in the space of sustainable and green finance. Surya, thank you so much for joining us today from Singapore. I welcome you to this show and tell us about your early life, your education and your profession so far.
First of all, thank you, sir, for hosting me and inviting me to this series. And I hope I'll be able to contribute for your viewers. So my early life, born in a town near Meerut in Muzaffarnagar, just 2 hours away from Delhi. So initially, my schooling days, we used to, because of the nature of my dad's job, we used to travel a bit around. So I've lived in many cities in Uttar Pradesh and Rajasthan, like Jaipur. But since I would say middle school, which is like fourth, fifth grade, say, I have been in Mumbai. So Mumbai is, whenever I meet someone, you know, even Indians in Singapore, and they ask me, where are you from? So it automatically comes Mumbai for me. So I did my schooling in Mumbai. I did my graduation in BBA from Mumbai University, Diba Patil University. And after that, during that period, I had some, I would say, curiosity about learning. So I did some internships. First was with Keto. It's a crowdfunding portal, which is pretty renowned now. Wasn't back then. Then one was with Motilal Oswal. I had wanted to know more about stock exchange and, you know, watching those movies and learning ki kya hota hai stock exchange mein. So after that, I straight up went for my master's, which was in Delhi, which was PGDM, which is equivalent of an MBA, and specialized in finance, touching more upon the financial markets, which was the reason I went for it. And although it was the COVID phase when I did that, I did learn a lot. I think it broadened my horizon about the world of finance. And so from there, I worked at EY initially. Then I went to London Stock Exchange. And London Stock Exchange, I got the opportunity to specifically work in the sustainability department in ESG. So from there, I was working as a senior ESG analyst. I got interested into sustainability. And I just got a thought that I think I should further maybe push one last time for 1 year of studies. I looked around the globe ki sustainability mein what are the courses which are coming up and how are they doing. So I couldn't find much. I would say honestly, there were a couple of them in UK, one of them in US, and one was in NUS. So I applied for it, and I've been pursuing that. So
coming from a small town called Mujaffarpur to Singapore, it's a great journey. I think a lot of our young listeners who would be watching this or listening to our conversation should get your story as an inspiration. And so going forward, tell us about why the ESG has become such an important factor in today's times.
I mean, for the viewers, to break down ESG, ESG is, there are three letters, but they're much more than that. There's E, which is environmental factors. There's S, social, and G, governance. So I think most of us know what governance is, basically having a governance structure. And the best examples of having a good governance structures are banks. They have the best governance structure because that's their foundation they're laid on. Coming to ENS, people, when they talk about ESG or sustainability, they think it's about green or maybe environment. I find ENS to be equally important. E is the environmental factors, for example, how much waste a company is producing, how much they're emitting CO2, how are they disposing their packaging. There can be numerous things. For social, similarly, there's safety of your employees, how you treat your employees, your working hours. Do you train them well before making them join? So E and S and G are the factors which they are getting graded on or which are they are getting scored on. Just like how a bond gets scored from CRISIL and ICRA in India. So they get a rating. Companies are getting an ESG score. So there are numerous companies, like even I was working in London Stock Exchange. We had the same work. We had to grade companies on the basis of their ESG score. So there is Morningstar, MSCI, Bloomberg. All of these have their own ESG scores. So ESG is very important because right now, the companies who are into, I would say, not so good business environmentally, are using the ESG scores to portray a good image and using it for their marketing. So for example, I'll explain, like, maybe it can be Shell, like British Petroleum. They are into the business of oil. And oil, we all know that it leads to emissions. So it's not good environmentally. But they will do their ESG reporting right. They will try to show ki humne E mein bhi achha kara hai, S mein bhi achha kara hai, and G mein toh we do. So that's why they will have a good ESG score. Now, there are ESG funds which have come up. Now, ESG funds are funds which put money into the good ESG scores companies. So it becomes a channel through the getting a good ESG score to getting capital in the secondary market. But there is a problem in ESG, we keep discussing in our class and even with our professors, that there are numerous companies which will grade you, which will grade a single company. But the difference or the variance in their ratings is pretty high. Agar aapne dekha ho, so for even a bond, CRISIL, ICRA and Moody's, ka rating is very, I would say, close by. It doesn't vary that much for a single bond or for a single instrument. But for ESG, you might see one company says, oh my God, Shell is best. And the other would say, no, Shell doesn't lie even in our top 50. So everybody is working on their own methodology and everything. And that is where legislation, rules, a proper framework comes into play, which we have for financial reporting, but we do not have for ESG reporting. So still a long way to go for it to evolve.
Okay, so when it comes to the Indian organizations, are they also rated by these agencies, or it is still not a very relevant thing for India?
No. They are rated. Your Reliance, Tata's, even I would say, I think, haven't checked for Adani's because back 2-3 years back, we were not looking at them closely, but they, all of them have their ESG reporting. So basically, ESG reporting is not that difficult to report for a company also, and not that difficult for them to gather also. It is just like how you release your annual report. So some companies have a model of putting their sustainability factors or whatever we call them in the annual report. Some start releasing a different sustainability report. So the ones who release a sustainability report are the ones who are more focused. The ones who are just having an annual report and they're putting it in. So it's not necessary that you report everything, only then you will get a score. Maybe there's a company who would have a score of zero because they do not report anything, but it will be graded because it's on the stock exchange. So mainly these aggregators, they don't say that we cover companies, or, you know, whenever they're selling their data or when they're talking to clients, they say we cover the indices, the exchanges. So if they cover Nifty 50, so all the 50 would be graded.
Okay, so you mentioned that the ESG scores by different agencies can be different. So which means that ESG grading is a concept which is still evolving. I think it's still some far away into the future.
Right.
And is there any particular organization which is actually responsible to make sure a certain standard is actually maintained, or it is still evolving?
So right now, there is no particular standard. Right now, the only, I think, the push from the regulation is that first they are telling them to report at least.
Okay.
In UK and in some parts of Europe, they have made it mandatory that you have to report your sustainability factors. So maybe I'm looking at that next would be that they would also regulate it, that how it needs to be done. Maybe there would be cap on some things, that this should be this much or that much, just like we have CSR in India. And but there are no regulations, but there are some organizations which themselves are taking these things into their hands. So for example, there's a GRI, which is the Global Responsible Initiatives. So they have their own set of mandates and you should follow this. And if you, you know, pass that, so you get a GRI rating, like you are certified by GRI. Just like there is also a B Corp rating. So B Corp is a, I would say, a research lab about looking into sustainability for corporates. So if you clear their mandates that you have this, you have that, you know, you report this, so you get a B Corp certification, and it is very difficult to get, and it's taken as a really good picture for the company if they have a B Corp certification. So nothing from the government side, nothing from the frameworks end, but some individual organizations are trying to push this. But I still see it not far enough, where governments would be having, or exchanges at least would be putting their you know, legislations. Like, for example, Singapore is soon to make it mandatory for to have someone with sustainability experience on the board, or having a chief sustainability officer. This is how it evolves, because even if you see at our financial reporting or the GARP reporting in US, it did not evolve in not even a decade. It took decades for it to evolve, from starting from 60s, 70s. So this is, we are at the starting point for sustainability reporting, I feel.
Something like the compliance officers which are there in some of the organizations.
Right, right.
Okay. Okay, the going forward, the next one which I came across recently is there's something called ESG investing and impact investing. So what is the difference between these two, and why there is a new talk about impact investing now?
Right, sir. So regarding, you know, ESG investing is the one which is done the most. I wouldn't call, I'm not sure on the asset managed, but I'm definitely sure that it is being sold by the fund owners and everyone, because ESG funds are everywhere, ESG is everywhere. So, but impact investing is the real investing where it makes impact. So going back to, you know, what sustainability is, or what being sustainable is for me. So, so there was a definition by UN, I guess. So they mentioned it, that being sustainable is all about using the resources, using it in such a way that you leave adequate resources for the rest of the generations to come. So that is what being sustainable is. There could be resources. So when we think of resources, we think of oil, coal. It's not similar to that. Even human is a resource. So we need to, so both environmental and social comes in sustainable. So coming to impact investing is actually making an impact. So breaking down sustainable investing can have ESG investing. It can also have impact investing. So ESG investing is basically just investing in those companies, as I explained, having good ESG scores. Then there's also called filter investing. So filter investing is something that I would not contribute my money into sinful companies. Like, for example, I don't invest money in ITC because they're in the tobacco business. Or maybe I don't invest in United Breweries because they're in the alcohol business, or somebody's in the arms business. So people don't do that. So that's filtering. There's ESG investing, there's filtering. The third is impact investing. So impact investing is actually investing in startups or in companies who are making an impact, giving money to the right people who are contributing towards it. For example, there could be a startup who is working, you know, sanitation or clean water in remote areas of Africa. And they are generating revenue out of it from the African government. But they're working on actually making the impact. So these are the businesses, or these are the startups which need capital. We ESG investing, we do not need to give capital to the Shell of our world or to the British Petroleums, who will in the end get money and maybe make more refineries, get more oil and sell it. So impact investing is the real investing where you can make an impact. This talk between the ultra high net individuals. So similarly, how HNIs, or more than HNIs, we call them UHNIs, are into philanthropy. Philanthropy has a warm glow attached to it, that when you do it, you feel good somewhere, and also you. But in impact investing, it's similar. It is actually educating them, or educating people about it, that sustainable investing, the deepest of similar to philanthropy or doing good for the society, is impact investing.
Okay. So in a way, we can say that impact investing probably was always there. It was just that the concept is being recoined again to bring more focus into activities which can actually create a sustainable future.
Yes, sir. But I mean, I might differ on that. So talking about philanthropy, if you say that makes an impact. Philanthropy is more, I would say, centric and focused on something. For example, there is a foundation, and Bill Gates might be investing in it, or I would say donating to it. And it is focused on cancer research. So it's just doing the job of research. So he will have to make his own, or manage his own portfolio, philanthropic portfolio, where he's investing in medical also, and he might also want to invest in innovation, which he actually does a lot. So, but impact investing in sustainable finance has made it easy. There are funds already from BlackRock. There's one from Credit Suisse, I guess. They have already made impact investing funds, where generally there are small businesses, startups, very, very early stage ones, which require money. So those are the ones which are easier to make the impact investing, even as a retailer. The pitch that can be to people is that through philanthropy, you do feel good. You get the, you know, once you're 50 or 60, you more look at the getting how you feel out of it and how renowned you get because of that philanthropy. But in impact investing, you do get returns also. So I keep, you know, hearing this from my professors, and I have imbibed this, that sustainable finance, impact investing and all, it's not charity. We are not doing anything for the society at keeping our returns at stake. Because if we start doing that, it will not be able to grow. Investors will not, you know, get attracted towards it. So
I completely agree. I think if you're investing money and in return there's nothing, that activity will not sustain.
Right, right, definitely.
Now, moving on, just to understand a little more about your course which you are currently undergoing. This is the course itself is called Sustainable and Green Finance. So take us through a bit about your course right now and also about the university.
So National University of Singapore is, it initially started with medical colleges. I think that then they got into law engineering and then they finally came to business and finance. For me, I am pursuing my course from the business school. So there are, it's pretty big. It has many schools inside it, just like how universities are. And in my course specifically, it's called the Masters of Science in Sustainable and Green Finance. So there's also other courses like Masters of Science in Finance, HR, Management. There's also in Real Estate, which I find interesting. And so it's, as it says, the name says Sustainable Finance. They have two semesters. First one goes about, you know, giving you more idea about finance and setting up your basics. For example, corporate finance, investing. There's also sustainable economics to understand how sustainability works in economies. And the second semester, which I am currently in right now, is the one which is gets deeper dive into sustainability. So we have topics as impact investing. We have sustainable risk management, how to, you know, involve your risk factors, sustainable risk factors, because that is a very big factors for, even if you talk to insurance companies, they would know it. Household sustainability. It's a very interesting topic. I'll just mention it in two lines. So household sustainability is that each and every individual holds the power to get sustainable. Rather than be looking up to the corporations and government, even an individual can contribute to make economy or the world sustainable and how he should contribute towards it. So over there, we don't look at ESG factors. We look at ESF. So the environmental factor of a person, how much waste he is producing, maybe in house or going to work, emitting from his car. Social factors are there. How is your social presence amongst, you know, maybe on the social networks. And the F is the finances. So how well your finances are managed. So we already have scorecards for finances, like there is credit scores and all. So that is what F is. And then E and S and F, we combine it to, for an individual, how well they are doing sustainability. The best part about Singapore is the university. It's so big that I've explored it, but there's still unexplored places. I would say it's one of the best infrastructures in the world. There is a lot of diversity. I see people coming from all around the world, and it's a cultural mix that, you know, supports the environment of Singapore. They're also very culturally diverse, mixed. So, I mean, anybody who, you know, through you, sir, or anybody who looks up should definitely give it a thought. And it's definitely one of the best options in the world out there.
So coming back to your own decision, prior to this, you were working with the London Stock Exchange. And before that, you worked in EY. And before that, as you mentioned, you have done your master's in India. So this is further going deeper into a specific area of sustainable finance. So how this course is going to help you professionally going forward? And do you see yourself working there for a few years in a global organization?
I would mention on that, if you might know the concept of first mover advantage. So I think one of the things that I saw an opportunity in this niche. I mean, it's very important to develop an interest first. But I developed an interest while working, and then I also saw an opportunity, and, you know, I wanted to gain that first mover advantage. Then I came across some researches which were actually on the NUS page only, and they were also showing it or marketing it, that there are some fields in this world where there is a demand and supply gap in terms of skilled people in those areas. So sustainability or climate change or all of this, it could be everything, not just corporate professionals, even researchers and all. It had the biggest demand supply gap. The second followed by was by AI and ML, which we also know is doing great right now. It's booming. So you could understand how you know, how the trends develop in the world or in the economies where students pursue things. So there is going to be a demand, and it's not going to be for 1 year or 5 years. Right now, there is no framework. Maybe in 5 years, there could be a reporting framework too. There could be, we could see carbon tax coming in Singapore soon enough, which could get pricier. Europe, there's always already carbon tax. So I did see it as an option not to, you know, change my career path. It was more to get a faster jump ahead in my career. So I was already working in sustainability. I had no issues with my job. I was, you know, I could have grown over there. But as I feel, education is the best investment to which pays you off. So it was not an easy decision to, you know, first of all, to leave your financial independence of leaving a job. But just hoping that it pays off. And as you said, maybe I might work in some corporate. I'm open to working in a corporate, startup, anything new venture. Maybe I keep looking for ideas. You never know.
Great, great. No, you're absolutely right. I think you've taken the first mover advantage. At least you've taken the step forward. And obviously, I think the advantage will definitely pan out as you move around. I mean, a lot of young people who are going to watch this or listen to our conversation, what kind of advice would you like to give to them who are wanting to take up a course or a profession in the area of sustainable finance, green finance, or ESG? I think these are the buzzwords which are going to be there for next 30, 50 years, if not more.
Right, sir. I think it's advice to everyone, including me too, that this space it's new, it's very niche, and it's very evolving. It's evolving rapidly. I mean, I have just been here for 7-8 months, and I have learned things, or the things that are coming up, which I never heard of at my work, or maybe I'll hear of new things in next 2-3 months. You never know. So you need to keep a grasp on it. You need to keep learning, keep reading, because if you lose a track, the things are moving really fast, and you might lose it. So that is an advice. If anybody has interest in it, sign up to those newsletters, follow those pages. There's ample amount to read on social media. I feel LinkedIn is a great place to connect with like-minded people, Like I do keep connecting with people in the sustainability space, even researchers. Read their papers. I start finding them interesting. But if you start reading the papers, you might, you know, learn a lot. So it's all about, I would say, keep grasping the knowledge, keep absorbing the knowledge, and keep going. Because if you make your, you know, source of knowledge more than others earlier in this space, which is relatively new, you will have an edge, and that edge will definitely pay off.
Yeah. And you mentioned that basically, you could actually easily get into this course because I think you had the background. I think you worked for a few years on that space. So I think that became easier for you to get in. But let's say somebody has done, let's say, some course, graduation course in humanities, or let's say somebody has done engineering, for example. For him or her to get into a space of sustainable finance, how easy or difficult it is going to be?
I feel sustainability is can be linked to every field right now. It is. I have linked it with finance. I have coupled it with finance because I was studying finance. But maybe somebody who's, for example, in accountancy, he could definitely go into the sustainability reporting part because he knows reporting, accountancy reporting. For humanities, it could be something on towards the projects which keep on coming, even in the impact investing, the social projects. They could have a thoughtful mind towards working on that. So I do not feel that anybody should have a problem once they have a nick for it and they want to do it. But one suggestion could be before, you know, taking up such a course, which is another country, not even that, I would say, cheap enough. You could start reading some books about sustainability so to see that you have some interest, or there is a certification by CFA, which they call it the CFA ESG. And that can be given individually. You don't need to clear one level 1, 2, 3 for that. So maybe it's much way more relatively very cheaper than this. Sign up for it, try doing it in a month or two. If you really like it, and you know, that also will help you to develop or make your profile for clearing such interviews or such, you know, future endeavors, whatever you want to excel.
We will share all those links which Surya mentioned in the show notes also, so that you can easily access those information really explore. I think, as you rightly mentioned, Adit, the sustainability is going to touch everybody's life.
Yes.
So anybody who has the knack or interest for the subject can actually explore the subject well, and then probably try and take a more professional course like what Surya is currently doing.
Yeah, right, sir.
Which can help your professional readiness for the future, I would say, in terms of the future opportunities which are just coming.
For example, I'll just mention, like, there's civil engineers. I think there is great, you know, scope for civil engineers to get into sustainability, because countries like Singapore and even Indonesia, Jakarta, the city Jakarta, they are looking at green buildings. They're looking at solutions where they can have renewable buildings. Then there is also a problem about which cities are facing about the rising water level. Even Mumbai might face it by 2050, it's predicted. Singapore might face it. So they're already working on solutions, these engineers, civil engineers. So every domain will touch upon sustainability and can be coupled with sustainability.
Great, Surya. I think we could get a lot of insight about what you're doing right now and trying to build a sustainable earth through your efforts. I'm sure there'll be millions like you who will also join this effort in terms of being professionally aware of what has to be done.
Right.
Of course, at individual level, I think we all are responsible to make the earth a sustainable place.
Mm-hmm.
But being educated in that particular field and trying to make the impact, I think that's what you are trying to do, which is excellent. And you shared some of the very important information which can be useful for some of the young people who are going to listen to this or watch our video. Surya, it was nice talking to you, and thank you for your time today. I know we are on a different time zone, and you agreed to talk for this episode. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Anytime, sir. Anytime. Thank you. It's my privilege to be hosted by you, and I hope to meet you in person sometime.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, so we could have much more, you know, a better discussion on these things maybe when I get back sometime to India.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Hope you enjoy this episode. We sincerely wish you could take something from our conversation today and be able to apply it to your life in a positive way. We value your feedback. This can help us improve our future episodes. So share your thoughts to serve you better. If you want us to focus on a topic which you think is of importance, let us know. We will share our expertise in future episodes. So, see you soon with a new topic and help you in your career journey.